Welcome to Real Life. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, and you're listening to the Real Life LA podcast, coming to you from multiple locations in the San Gabriel Valley of sunny Southern California. We're a church for everyone, and we exist to lead people to Jesus, a community of grace with a God-sized vision that reaches from generation to generation. As you hear today's message, we pray that God speaks specifically to you and opens your heart and inspires you to live each day with more joy, beauty, and wonder. Hey, Real Life Church, God bless you. It's Pastor Jim. We are in the middle of our Christmas series now, and we are looking at witnesses to the story of Jesus' birth. We're looking at shepherds and magi. And today you're going to see that not all the witnesses to the birth of the Christ child were happy that it was happening. But it's important that we listen to the witnesses who are against us because they reflect a measure of the truth as well. I'll show you what I mean. There was a court case in a small town in which everybody knew everybody else. And so some of the rules about objectivity went out the window. And there was a case that came before the court in which a woman, an elderly woman who was a grandmother, was called to be a witness. And she stood in front of the courtroom, sat at the witness's chair, and the prosecuting attorney went to ask her questions. And he began by saying, "Mrs. Jones, do you know who I am?" And she said, "Yes, I used to babysit you when you were a child. You are an absolute disappointment to me. You are a womanizer and you drink too much and you've just turned out to be a failure and I'm so disappointed in you." Flabbergasted, the prosecuting attorney then pointed to the defense attorney and said, "And do you know him?" And she said, "Yes, I used to babysit him with a child and he is an absolute disappointment to me. He is a liar and a cheater and will do anything for a dollar. I'm so disappointed in him." At this point, with all the rules off, the judge summoned both of the lawyers to the bench and said, "Look, if either of you two asks her if she knows me, I'm going to jail you for contempt." We may not want to hear what the negative witnesses have to say, but the negative witnesses are themselves a reflection of the truth. And today we're going to look at what King Herod thought of the birth of the Christ child, because while he was opposed to it, it will tell us a little bit more about who this Christ child is. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that your story is true and that you call us to be witnesses to it. Thank you for the witnesses 2,000 years ago who saw it and who either celebrated and rejoiced and marveled or who reviled and fought against it. Thank you that their stories today can still shape our faith. We ask that through the power of your Spirit, you would build our faith now. And may the words of our mouths and the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 3, and listening to the Christmas story again. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." That's from Micah chapter 5. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I too may go and worship him." King Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. I bet they were, because King Herod was not a man to be trifled with. And when he was disturbed, heads tended to roll. Herod was middle management put in place by Caesar, the king of all of the Roman Empire. And Caesar, ruling from Rome, needed somebody to rule the provinces that he had conquered. And so he puts Herod in charge of Judea. But the Jewish people see Herod as an interloper and an outsider, an imposition on them, who is faithful to Rome, but not to Yahweh. And so Herod is not liked, and Herod is not a pleasant man. When he was 35 years old, he exiled his wife and his 3-year-old child so that he could marry a teenager, and he would later have a second wife executed along with her two children, whom he charged with conspiracy. There was an expression that developed in that day that is better to be Herod's pig than his son. The word for pig in Greek is hous, and the word for son in Greek is huios. So it was sort of a play on words. Better to be Herod's hous than his huios. Better to be his pig than his son. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." That's Hosea 11. And it's actually a reference to God calling Israel out of slavery in Egypt, but the New Testament writers interpret the Old Testament prophetically some ways that are a little bit mystical. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Here's who Herod is. Herod is a person for whom power politics is the only system to live by, and self-glorification is the only goal. The Jewish people have been waiting for a king in the bloodline of David to come and ascend to the throne and push out outsiders like Rome. And so it would be bad news for Herod that someone had been born king of the Jews, because he was the king of the Jews. The Jewish people were waiting for a savior to come and deliver them, and Herod wanted to be that savior and that ruler. In a world where there is no God, there are different values which govern the human heart than the ones that govern the human heart if there is a God. If there is no God, people pursue power and wealth and self-indulgence and the suppression of their enemies, and then maybe just a quiet death in the end. The worst thing that could happen for those people is God actually showing up. Before the internet, we thought that you could become wise if you just had more information. And now we have the internet and information is available everywhere, and we realize it's not that. We were not lacking information. That's not what makes people wise. Because Herod heard the truth. And it wasn't that he didn't believe it. It's that he didn't want it. But we have to listen to negative witnesses, because negative witnesses have an important truth to tell. Those who love darkness hate the light. And what we see in Herod is that Jesus really was the light, because Herod loved darkness. We've seen in this series there are different witnesses called to the manger scene. There are shepherds who are called out of their humility and their poverty and their simplicity, because this is the one who will live a life of humility and shepherd all of humanity. We're going to see that magi, that wise men, are called to the manger scene because those who pursue wisdom with a sincere heart will find their way to its source. But in Herod, we see that there are those who pursue goals for which Jesus is just going to be a contrast and a conflict. The goals of this group of people are to amass wealth rather than living generously, to bend other people to their will rather than bending their own will to God's, and they want to live self-indulgently rather than giving their lives away in love. Jesus' enemies are an important witness to who he is, because our enemies reveal important truths about us. The negative witness has an important truth to tell, because those who love darkness hate the light. And Jesus is the light. Listen to the enemies of Jesus and see what they tell us about him, because what they hate about him is probably true. There are those who, for lust of power, will always reject the light and will reject Jesus. We've seen it in our own modern day. Not that long ago in the span of world history, during the Second World War, the Third Reich rose up in Germany, promising power and wealth and deliverance. What had happened is, after the First World War, which Germany was a little bit responsible for, the powers of the world that won the war put severe penalties on Germany, and they experienced financial recession and shame. And so out of that poverty, Adolf Hitler arose, promising deliverance, that he would make Germany great again, having lost so much after the First World War. And people rallied around him because they loved his promise of power and wealth and success. There's a movie out right now that I want you to go see about this era and time, and the movie is called Bonhoeffer. And it's about a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who died during the Second World War in the German concentration camps for plotting to assassinate Hitler and standing against what the Third Reich represented. In Bonhoeffer's day, and the movie captures this powerfully, pastors would stand in their pulpit and advocate for Hitler and the Third Reich to a pleased and celebratory congregation. The pastors would preach this because they loved the promise of power and money and status that they would receive by supporting the state, and their congregations cheered for them. And Bonhoeffer was one of the lone voices that stood up and said, "The pathway of Jesus is not the pathway of power, it is the pathway of surrender." Jesus famously said, Bonhoeffer famously said of Jesus, "When Jesus calls a man, he bids him to come and die." Jesus would never claim an earthly crown. The only crown he would ever wear was a crown of thorns forced on his head by those who would mock him. And we who follow him do not seek earthly power and wealth and status. We seek to give our lives away and in love. And anything other than that is heresy. Go see the Bonhoeffer movie. It captures the story powerfully. You really do have to choose. Jesus came into the world and was the light of the world, and the world rejected him because the world loved darkness. And Herod has a lot to teach us about what Jesus actually stood for and about who we really are. Because those who go lusting after power and wealth and status are going to hate Jesus in the end. But you have to listen to those negative witnesses, because shadows point towards the source of the light. I knew a woman who became a Christian, not in church, but in a nightclub, and she did so because she saw the contrast between the two. She went to a nightclub on a Saturday night and was not a Christian and was not at all interested in faith, had a vague faith from her childhood, but she went to this nightclub and she said, "It just felt so dark. I could just feel the evil of the place. I went there to party and to drink, and it just felt so dark." The next morning, she woke up hungover and just felt wrong in her soul, and she sought out a church and went to church on Sunday morning. And she said it was the contrast of the light that she experienced at church to the darkness she had experienced the night before that made her receive Jesus into her heart and enter into a relationship with him. The darkness is important about what it tells us, because the shadows point towards the light. And there will always be those false witnesses that point towards the light that has come. So listening to voices like Herod is important. There are people who will follow in the footsteps of Herod in our day, and they will not like Jesus. Listen to the promise that actually came from the prophecy in Micah that is referenced here in the scripture. Listen to the promise of what happens when we embrace the light. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," which is the older name of Bethlehem, "though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty and the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace." If you've ever run out of life by chasing after what the world has to offer, if you see its darkness and you don't want it anymore, come and accept the one who didn't seek power, but who is the ruler over all the universe, who didn't seek to conquer people, but instead died to save us. And if you invite him into your life, his light will wash away the shadows in your life. In the end, there are three choices that we could make based on the witnesses that gathered at the manger scene. Those who, like the shepherds, have experienced a life of humility, of being small in society, are invited to be witnesses of the greatest story ever told, to become like the messengers, the angels, who represent the story of the great king. Those who have lived lives pursuing wisdom and seeking truth will find it ultimately at its source. But there are those who, like the promise of power and money and status, more than anything else. And if they go chasing after that, they'll get what the world has to offer. And it is a cold and abrasive environment out there. If the world has left you with very little, come seeking the one who offers you security and peace. And if you are someone who seeks wisdom, find it at its source. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas a little bit early. I'll see you again soon. Thanks for joining us today. Now, will you help us welcome others to real life? Share our podcast or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Real Life LA. If you'd like to become a supporter, please visit reallife.la and tap give to help us welcome everyone to real life. God bless and have a wonderful day.